Good evening, everybody. I would like to thank the Reverend Porter and the committee and session just for the invitation to come along this evening and to share of my testimony. I have been praying for this meeting much, and I do trust and pray that as we meet together, that we would know the Lord's help and his blessing. And it has been my sincere prayer that if you're in this house tonight, and if you still do not know Christ as your own and personal Saviour, that the night would be the very night that you would make that most important critical choice that each and every one of us is faced with. I do invite you to turn in the scriptures with me, please, to the New Testament in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and we will commence our reading in verse 11. And he said, this is Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain, it could be translated gladly, have filled his belly with the husks that the wine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. We'll end our reading there in verse number 24. Perhaps we'll just unite our hearts in a word of prayer just before we come to look at this passage of Scripture, please. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we do thank and praise thee for the open word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the open door where we can come and worship and praise thee. And Father, right now I just pray that you would empty me of self and of sin. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to speak in spirit and in truth. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would take away all nerves and take away the fear of man and fill me afresh with the Spirit of the living God. Father, I do pray that you would draw near and dear to each and every one that's gathered in this house tonight. Lord, you knowest the heart. And Father, I just pray that you would draw near to each and every one of us. Lord, perhaps there's maybe somebody here that's maybe not saved, maybe a backslider, maybe cold at heart. Lord, thou knowest all about them. Lord, I just pray now that you would draw right near to us and that we would know your presence. Father, give us a spirit-filled congregation. Open our ears and open our hearts tonight, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. It's a well-known passage of Scripture to each and every one of us, and that is the story of the prodigal son. And I would just like to, before I share my testimony, just share a few simple thoughts of what I can see in this passage. First of all, I would like to consider the path that this son chose. And we see this in verse 12 and 13. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You see, he couldn't wait to get the money in his pocket, as we just read. He couldn't wait to get away quick enough. I noticed in the passage as well, I love the detail that the scriptures give us. It says that he went to a far country. So bear in mind, he just didn't go to perhaps Ocker, Clocker, or Five Mile Town. He went away, far away, out of the road. And oftentimes that is our thoughts, isn't it? Perhaps before we get saved, we think, the farther I'm away, the more money I have in my pocket, all my problems will disappear. I'll be far better off being out of the road. All my problems is going to go away. But you know and I know that that's far from true, don't we? We see this in verse number 14 if we read together. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You see, we all know, and we all know the scripture, and that is that, yes, there is pleasurable. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. It's short-lived. It's counterfeit. It's fake. It's fraud. It's not real. And we see this in our text that's sent before us. We see the path that he chose, but also we see the path that it took him. Read together verse number 16. And he would gladly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I've no doubt that this young fella came from perhaps a quite wealthy family. He was well looked after. He had plenty of money that his father had given him. But do you want to know what? See, whenever he had done things his own way, and all the money was gone. And we see in verse number 16, this is actually a picture of pride being turned to humility. And personally speaking, in the day and age that we're living in, this is the most important thing that the Church of Jesus Christ needs, is to set our pride aside and to be clothed with absolute humility. Because I can stand behind this pulpit tonight and say that without Christ, I am absolutely nothing. You see, this young man, after his substance, after his righteous living was finished, he was willing to do anything. And God's word reminds us, doesn't it, that God, he resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Look with me at verse number 17 as well. We'll see another wee characteristic. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's bread have enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. You see, verse number 17 tells us that this young fella, he came to the end of himself. And that's exactly what happened to me in my life before I came to Christ, as I was completely finished with life. In fact, I always went to bed at night, and this is no word of a lie, and I actually would have prayed to God that he would have took me home. Why? Because my life was an absolute misery. And if we think of this young man, whenever he was with the pigs and he was eating and stuff, this is also a picture of sin. He was down in the gutter. He was in the muck and the mire of the pigs. And no doubt he would have been stinking as well with what he was associated with and the job that he was doing. He was literally at the end of himself. And that's literally what sin does. It will leave you absolutely empty. Yes, it will give you pleasure, but not forever. It's short-lived, and we need to be very, very mindful of that, each and every one of us. I have a favorite Bible verse, and it's in Matthew 5, and the verse 6, and it's one of the Beatitudes. And it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why did I tell you that verse? To be very, very simple. As Christ will leave you filled with the right things that we desire. You'll be filled with joy. You'll be filled with peace. You'll be filled with all the fruits of the Spirit that us as Christians should carry. I ask you the question tonight. I ask myself, are you a fruit-bearing Christian? If somebody was to meet you down the street, down in the local village or town, would somebody be able to say, there's something different about that fella? There's something different about that man? Because whether we think it or not, we are being watched. There's people that are watching in the way that we live our lives. You see, the world will never leave you fully satisfied. And we all, each and every one of us, have that void in our hearts and our lives, don't we? And that is just because at birth we were separated, our relationship, we were separated from God because of our sin. And that's why we need Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives. And whenever we have Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives, that's whenever we can truly say that our relationship with God has been restored and that we are filled with the blessings of God. We don't only see the path that he chose, but the path that he took him. Lastly, the final thought is the path that it led him. You see, when he realizes that he was living, the way he was living his life wasn't right and that he wasn't happy, what he thought would make him happy, it didn't last very long. Sure, it didn't. It was short-lived. And verse number 18, we see that he acknowledged his sin before God, and he knew that he had to get right before God. Maybe you're in this gathering tonight, and you know that you need to get right before God. Why do you not do it tonight? Because, you know, the reality is, and the Bible does tell us that we don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. As a man says, we could be here the day and we could be gone the night. We might not even be spared tomorrow. So why not, if you're not right with God and if you're not living your life right, why not get right tonight? Don't take this lightly, or don't take anything for granted, because life, as we know, is very, very short-lived. You see, this really is the simplicity of the gospel. People say to me, if people ask me the question, say, Matthew, what is the gospel? And that is acknowledging and realizing that you're a sinner standing before a holy God. And it's whenever the Holy Spirit is directly speaking to you of your need for personal salvation. That really is the simplicity of the gospel. And you know what? Oftentimes, maybe people think, I used to think myself, maybe whenever you get saved, you had to see these big fireworks and this big explosion. Absolutely not. Because the change begins in the inside. It's a heart change. And then visually, you should be able to see the change in that person's life on the outside. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 17, it's a well-known verse to us all. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, whenever Matthew Hunter got saved, he no longer wanted to take cocaine anymore. He no longer wanted to smoke cigarettes anymore. He no longer wanted to take tablets anymore. He no longer wanted to do life his way, but he wanted to do life God's way. And Matthew Hunter prayed, not my will be done, but Father, your will be done in my life. And that really is the simplicity of the gospel. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, the verse 6, the question may be asked, Matthew, what is life all about? And you have the perfect answer, because the words of our Savior, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And just in closing to your thoughts, verse number 20, we see the compassion of our Heavenly Father. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And I think this is the most beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father that loves us. You know, believer, or maybe unsaved here tonight, it doesn't matter what you have done in your life. Don't you believe the devil's lie and say, you've done wrong, you've done too much for God to forgive you. That's the devil's lie. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them. You know, even as a Christian, I can stand here and I can confess even to you as a congregation. And perhaps I'm speaking to the unbeliever here too. Do you know the one thing about being a Christian? And I especially say this to the unbeliever. I don't think I'm good. I don't think I'm perfect. In fact, far from it. See, the thing about being a Christian, as I recognize all my failures and I recognize all my need. And that's exactly what it is to be a Christian. I'm no better than anybody else in this building here tonight. I'm only a dirty old sinner saved by the free grace of God. And that really is it tonight. So we've seen the path that this prodigal son took. And praise God, he came to his senses. But I want to tell you now about the path that I took in life, that Matthew Hunter took in life. You know, there's many in this building here tonight, and they can say that they were brought up in a Christian home. And may I remind you, just in case you maybe forgot, but yous were what I would call very blessed and privileged people today. And even for the young people that's in our gathering here tonight, you know, yous are very blessed, yous are very privileged to have a mother and father, to have great grandparents that want to bring you up in the things in the way of God. And can I say that, especially to the young ones, listen to your mum and dad. They love you and they care for you and they only want what's best for you. I never had that privilege of growing up in a Christian home. But what I did have the privilege of was a godly influence in my life. And that was my granny and granda, who are saved people. And you know, life for me, without really getting into the nitty-gritty details, but I will go into a slight bit of detail. Life for me growing up was, it was tough to say the least. Growing up, whenever I was a child, my mother experienced difficulties with an alcohol problem. My mother and father separated whenever I was very young. So I never had that father figure in my life. Now, I did have my granda, and he took me under his wing, but I never had my father around while I was growing up, nor did my younger sister as well. And I attended a primary school in Randallstown. And with that being said, I attended my local church as well. I had an aunt who is a Sunday school teacher, and she would have took me to the Friday night meetings. She would have took me to Sunday school. She would have took me to church. My granny and granda would have took me to church on a Sunday. And you know, would you believe that I actually made a profession to get saved whenever I was a young boy? You know, I knew my need of salvation, even at a very young age. But do you know, even with me professing to be saved, there was no change in the life of Matthew Hunter. It wasn't a genuine, heartfelt confession to profess Christ as my Saviour. And sadly and unfortunately, whenever I get a wee bit older, whenever I get old enough and big enough in my own eyes, what did I stop doing? But I stopped going. And unfortunately and so sadly, can it be very common thing that we hear of in today's day and age, where our young people, our children, have been brought up in the things of God, and they know the truth, and they know the right way, but yet they decide to go and do their own thing. It breaks our hearts, doesn't it? And I was one of them individuals that done the exact same thing. I was like the prodigal son that we just read about, where I wanted to do my own thing, even as a young boy. I struggled throughout primary school. Unfortunately, I suffered depression a great deal as a child. And by the way, I don't blame anybody nor anything for the events that happened and took place in my life. Because do you want to know what? We all make choices ourselves. We're never forced into doing anything. And I never wanted to go to church. Church became boring. It became unattractive. I basically didn't want to be there anymore, truth be told. And this was really the downward spiral in my life. And I landed my first job in a petrol station in the village of Ahochel, just outside Ballymena. And this is whenever I was still at school. I was about 15 or 16 years of age at that time. And this is really whenever sin started coming into my life. It started off with smoking a cigarette, and cigarette can be classed as a gateway drug. And you'll say, what do you mean by that, a gateway drug? Basically, it can lead to an open door to other avenues. You know, can you ever think of somebody that has just smoked a cigarette and nothing else? I think it'll be very hard for you to think, or maybe you do know, I'm not saying it happens in every case, but you're 99.9% sure that if somebody smokes, that they'll be destined to either take a pint of beer or wherever it may be. And this was the case in my life too. It started off to be cigarettes, whether you want to call it peer pressure, fitting in with the crowd. It was the thing that you'd done at high school. Then it led to cannabis. Now, this was before my GCSEs, mind you. Then I was taking ecstasy. Then I was taking speed. And truth be told, I had absolutely no interest in school. In fact, I couldn't wait to get left to get out working. That was just my approach to school. Now, I'm sad that I didn't try better at school, but as the man says, you live and you learn. I landed my first job in this petrol station in a Hockle, and I'm not going to hang around. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything tonight. But after a short time of working in that petrol station, I get fired from that job. Why did I get fired? Because I got caught stealing. And that's what happened to me. And I was out of work for a period of about 6 months. And this brings us to about 2007, 2008. And if you can remember, the recession had came upon us at this time. And my uncle, he was a joiner by trade, and the work dried up. And he had an ambition to open up his own business. And that business was opening up his own gym. And I started working in this gym because I was out of work, because I got sacked from this first job. I started working in this gym part-time. Now, by the way, I am not going to criticise gyms here tonight. A gym has a right place in somebody's life if it's used and respected properly. However, there is dangers. And in fact, there was dangers that I didn't even know about myself. Number one, you're in a worldly environment. You're listening to worldly music. You're more than likely going to start doing worldly things. You know, there's a saying, and that is that we're all like the people that we hang around with. And I was exactly the same. And you know, I was very naive, even though I had drunk, I had smoked, I had took other party drugs. I was never really aware of what could go on in one's life. And it happened very simple in my life. I gave a man a lift home one night after training in the gym, and he invited me into his house, and he introduced me to my addiction, and that is that drug called cocaine. And I can honestly say, I put my hand on my heart, whenever I first tried that drug, I thought, boys, this is great. Life can't give you this high, just as we read about the prodigal son. He thought it was all fun and games at the start. And that is the way sin starts, isn't it? It's all fun, it's all games. And I could have took it or left it. It never was a problem in my life. But see, very quickly, the cocaine became a major problem in my life. I started stealing off my uncle to feed my own selfish desires and my habit. And even though I was fully aware, I was fully conscious of what I was doing, the reality was I couldn't help myself because I was so engrossed with getting my next bag of cocaine. I had no money. I was working 7 days a week for nothing. And I always remember my mother telling me, she says, Matthew, she says, you haven't even enough money to buy yourself a pair of socks. And that really was the truth, the honest truth. I had absolutely nothing. And there's never been a truer saying, I was existing and I wasn't living. I was working and working hard at that there to basically be paying drug dealers and to fulfill my addiction. And you know, even though my life got so bad, got so miserable, you know, the Lord will bring you onto your knees, and sin will take you further than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And I owed money to maybe six or several drug dealers at the time, and I was lured to a house in a nearby town, and I went into that house unawares of what was going to happen to me that night. And I'll fast forward from whenever I come out of that house. I come out of that house and I get both my cheekbones broke. And I get my left eye socket fractured. My left eye socket fractured. I nearly lost the sight in my left eye. And to my amazement, I hadn't a speck of blood in my clothes, even after what I had been through and what happened to me. And I can only put it down to the grace of God being upon me. And you'll turn around and say to me, Matthew, I know what you're going to say next. Surely you'd have wised up. You would have caught yourself on. But the answer is no. Why? Believe it or not, I was still finding pleasure in what I was doing. And it takes you, me and you, to come to that place in your life where you come to the end of yourself and you realize that the world can offer you absolutely nothing, but Christ offers you everything. And the most important thing is he offers you eternal life. The foundation has been laid and the price has been paid. All we have to do by faith is accept it. And I was an absolutely broken man. I had more than enough support from family, more than enough support from good Christian people. But do you want to know what? I didn't want it. And that's the key. That's the bit that I want to actually get home tonight to each and every one of you and to those listening online, perhaps. See if you're trying to help somebody. See if you have somebody in your family that you're trying to help. You need to ask them one question. And that one question is, do you want help? Do you want a change? Because I'll let you into a little secret. We can do absolutely nothing. There is one thing we can do, and that is we can pray. That's why I'm here tonight, is because people was praying for me. But until that individual wants the help and desires and craves that change, there's absolutely nothing you can do. That sounds harsh, but it's only the truth. And it was the exact same way in my life. My addiction continued for probably another 3 or 4 years. And I finally came to the end of myself. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And it was another stealing incident, believe it or not. People in addiction, they have a habit to steal, to lie, to manipulate. And I unfortunately carried all them three characteristics whilst I was in addiction. It was never me as a person, but the fact is this substance changed the person that I was. It changed me into somebody, and to my family that no longer knew who I was anymore. It completely changed me as a person. And I actually took a man's week's wages to my shame, and I was meant to pay that man his wages, but what did I do? I spent it on drugs. And I'm absolutely ashamed to tell you that I done that, but I'm only telling you the truth of how low you can go and the things that you'll do. And my uncle rung me and he says, how did the day go? And blah, blah, blah. The conversation went on. And he says, did you pay that man his money? And I says, I did. And I was driving on down the road, and about two minutes later, my phone rang again. And it was my uncle's name come up on my phone. I seen as soon as I looked at the phone, my heart sunk. Because I knew that I had been caught out. And I answered the phone, and he very simply said to me, he says, I'm going to ask you again. He says, did you pay that man? And I didn't answer him for a few seconds. And I says, I did. He says, you're a liar. He says, he's only after ringing me there. Be sure your sin will find you out. He says, where are you at? He says, you're out in the car. And I says, I am. I was actually on my way to a town to get more drugs. And I can honestly say, I can put my hand on my heart, I turned the car and come home. And I says to myself, that's me finished. And I can honestly say that whilst I was in addiction, I was truly seeking for help. See, because that seed had been planted as a young boy, even with me making that profession, I knew the truth and I knew what I needed to do. And I was seeking for help, and I was actually searching the internet for help. And a well-known man to some of us, and that is, I was watching videos of Chris Killen. He was advertising a meeting. And I remember he was advertising a meeting, and there was this other fella sharing his testimony. He was a heroin addict, saved by the grace of God. And I can remember very simply the tears just rolling down both sides of my face. Because I says to myself, I want that, but how do I get there? I was broken, I was trapped, and I was so, so miserable. But I can honestly say that God really did have a plan for my life. I can stand here and tell you that tonight, and he has a plan not only for my life, but for your life also. And it's a perfect plan. The psalmist could say, as for God, his way is perfect. And Chris came out and see me. It was a Sunday night after church. And again, this is the point where somebody needs to get to. I says, Chris, what can you do to help me? Because I knew that Chris's ministry was all about helping people to get into Christian residential treatment. And I knew that was the only way I could get free from my addiction, was to be took out of the environment that I was in and to be placed into, you could call it nearly a greenhouse, where you had the chance and the opportunity not only to get free from addiction, but to get right with the Lord. And I knew that's what I needed. And I was originally destined to go to the men's home in the south of Dublin, a town called Talla. I would have had to have waited a month to get in there. This was December 2017. I would have had to wait it to January. It's a 16-bed facility, and the beds were full. So I thought, right, well, I'm going to have to, you know, be happy and accept that. But God had other plans, and that is that I was approached by a few men that belongs to our own denomination. And it was put towards me, the question was put towards me, Matthew, would you go to a Christian residential program in America? And we'll sort it out for you. And I says, I will. No problem, I didn't even have to think about it. So on the 20th of December 2017, I flew out to Rockford, Illinois, in Chicago. And it was a Baptist church out there. And I can honestly say it was the most amazing experience, one of the most amazing experiences on my life. And the very first question I got asked whenever I entered that men's home was, are you saved? And I ask you the very same simple question tonight. Are you saved? Are you born again? That's the most important choice that each and every one of us are faced with. And it's the most important decision that each and every one of us has to make. And I get right before God. I can never forget it. The very first night I was in that home in America, in that bedroom, I cried my heart out unto God. And I got right before God. And I asked him to do a work in my heart and my life. And I asked him to forgive me for all I had done. And it was a genuine, heartfelt encounter that I had that night. And I can honestly say, it'll be coming 5 years this year, that my life has truly changed forever. And I can honestly say that to you all tonight. And I completed that program. It was a six-month program. Now, again, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It wasn't an easy program. It was there to shape you and mold you and to develop you and to build character. But it was exactly what I needed at that time. And there was 43 men. So you could imagine what it was like around the dinner table and around the breakfast table. We all, 43 different personalities. It was a testing experience. Let's just put it like that way. But it was a great experience. And I came home from America, and I worked in the men's home in Dublin. I got an email from the man called Leighton Kelly that runs the home in Dublin. And he says, Matthew, would you like to come down here and be a staff member in our residential centre? And obviously, I was coming home to no job, and I was actually praying whenever I was in America. And I says, Lord, you're going to have to direct my steps here and what you would have me to do. And I worked in that home in Dublin for 10 months. It was a great, humbling experience to be on the other end, if you like, of no longer being a resident in a home, but actually being a staff member and helping men overcome their stubborn habits and addictions. In fact, the very first person that I led to the Lord was a young fella from Dublin. And the Lord was giving me all these amazing experiences and encounters. Now, I'm no longer in that men's home. I've been working full-time. Near my home in Randallstown. I've been working full-time now for 3 years. And I actually class myself as normal now, but then again, it depends what you class as normal. But I'm now living a normal life. I'm now a member of my local church where I went to as a young boy, where I made the profession. I'm actually a member there. Not only that, I'm actually a Sunday school teacher now, teaching children. Now, bear in mind, less than 5 years ago, I was a full-time functional cocaine addict. Now I'm teaching children the things and the ways of God. And I'm trying to tell them not to make the decisions and the paths that I took. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Other things that the Lord has done in my life, he has restored my family relationships to an unbelievable difference. The uncle that I stole off were so close. My mother, who's a backslider, is very close to coming back to the Lord. Her heart is so soft towards the gospel, and she knows what she needs. She's so unhappy, and I say that in the best way possible, because she knows that it's only the truth makes free. The Bible says, who the Son sets free, says you will be free indeed. The fella that I actually stole the money off, I had an encounter with him. I says to myself, what do I do here? My heart started pounding 1,000 beats. And the Lord gave grace, and I went up to that man, and I looked at him straight in the eye, and I says, I'm sorry for what I've done. And he accepted my apology. And it was an absolutely amazing experience. Some may say, Matthew, why did you leave the Lord's work to go into a full-time circular job? And I'll answer that now, hopefully. With my life, with my background, I had absolutely nothing. In fact, whenever I got right with God, that time I went to America, it was like me starting my life all over again. It was like me just leaving school. So it's only now that I'm having that foundation. And I believe that the Lord has given me a foundation that I can build on. And I'm settling in my own church. I'm serving in my own church. I'm involved in the youth, involved in the children's work. I take other meetings around the country. And I believe that it's God's will. If it's God's will, I would love him to place me into full-time ministry. Why? Because I owe everything to the Lord. It wasn't man that done the change in my life. It wasn't the program that changed my life. Yes, these are tools, and the Lord can use people in your life, but there's only one person that can change your life, and that is Jesus Christ. And I can honestly say, in closing tonight, that I'm so excited for the future, and I have a purpose. I have happiness. I've got joy in my heart, and I'm just so excited for what God is going to do. And you know, tonight, as I close, be encouraged as God's people. Keep on praying for your family that's not saved. No doubt yous are no different than me. I have family that's not saved, and I'm sure yous are the same. And what would I encourage us to do? Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Run the race well. That the Lord would have us, that the Lord would say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I do trust and pray that as I have finished, that the Lord has spoken to your heart. And if there's any way that I can be a help and encouragement to you, please don't hesitate to speak to me. Thank you very much.
Night for coming and sharing with us that personal word of testimony, telling of God's saving grace and God's transforming grace and God's delivering grace. And our prayers, the Lord will bless him, lead him on with himself, and continue to use him for his honor and glory. But you know, as we would close tonight, we leave that challenge before you all tonight, and the challenge is this: are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 34, Christ says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Sin binds our life, it controls our life, it directs our lives. If it is not dealt with, it will take us down to hell, to lost eternity, without hope and without God. But in that same chapter, and our brother has quoted that verse already, in John 8, verse 36, Christ is speaking, and he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed, and there's freedom, as the hymn writer says, there's liberty, there's light, there's gladness, there's hope, there's joy found in Christ. And in none other, if you're not saved tonight, that you would come to the Lord and trust him. If you're a backslider tonight, that you'd come back to the Lord The Lord would restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. And the Lord can bless you and use you for His honor and for His glory. We're just going to close our meeting tonight. We'll be singing together the final hymn just in our wee hymn sheet. It's a wonderful gospel hymn, the 287 in our own hymn book. But it says, depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God His wrath forbear? Me the chief of sinners spare. Verse 2 says, I have long withstood His grace, long provoked Him to His face, would not hearken to His cause, grieved Him by a thousand falls. Verse 3 says, whence to me this waste of love? Ask my advocate above, see the cause in Jesus' face, now before the throne of grace. And praise God tonight, if you're not saved, you're far away from the Lord, there's hope for you tonight, not in self, not in man, not in the church, but in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and in the grace of God alone. We'll stand as we sing, and thinking of these words as we sing them, and singing them out with all of our heart. Going to close our meeting tonight with a word of prayer. If there's one tonight and there's a need in your heart and life, and there's a desire in your heart tonight to get saved, get right with God, don't go away in your sin, but come to the Lord tonight. If I can be of any help to you, if a brother Matthew can be of any help to you after the meeting, we'll be in no hurry away, only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anything that our brother has said tonight in his testimony and you want to speak to him about that, or there's a concern even maybe about someone involved in drugs or whatever, well, you feel free to speak to our brother after the meeting. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here tonight. We thank Thee for saving our brother Matthew. We thank Thee for changing his life, changing the whole course and destination of his life. And we thank Thee that this is all of Thy grace and Thy goodness and Thy mercy. Bless him, lead him on with Yourself, and use him for Your honor and glory. Bless all who have gathered here tonight, Lord. Thou dost know the need of all our hearts. Lord, we pray that Thou will come and meet the need of every heart and life. Bless and encourage the saints of God. But Lord, should there be any with us tonight, and Lord, they're not saved, still under sin's condemnation, O God, we pray that tonight they will come to Christ and be saved. Maybe there's a backslider, O God, in our meeting, wandering afar from God. O Lord, restore such tonight. We thank that there's mercy with the Lord. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us. And while man's voice is silent, Lord, speak on. We beseech of thee. This we pray and we ask for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.